Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Nadine, and welcome to 2023. I tell you what, this has been an intense start of a year energetically. And, you know, many times when I get information from the animals, it's a communication directly to the animal themselves, or it's communication to the human companion of that animal. And for those of you who are on my mailing list, I had shared an incredibly huge piece of information that came through a kitty. Her name is Bitsy. And I had to ask permission, and they said, absolutely, we want this information to go out. So if you're not on my mailing list and want to be on the mailing list, you know, please just ask. I can guide you to where how to do that. But briefly, what I want to let you know is the animals are really, really, really stepping forward in a way that I have not seen, I just have not seen, you know, in my lifetime. So I think I told you the story about how many years ago, you know, I'd been doing my own work and my own healing practice, and I was opening more of the portal into the animal kingdom. And Pegasus, you know, it's like, could you please be a voice for us? Not the voice, but a voice for the animal kingdom. And at that time is when I started doing the animal channel and opening up a little bit more of that ability for, you know, animal healing sessions, but communication back and forth with the animals. And what it's really grown into is the amount of wisdom, but the clarity of wisdom, the clarity of information that is coming through. You know, before I would say in the initial stages, couple, you know, 3-5 years ago, it was more scratch and sniff is what I would call scratch and sniff. And what I mean by that is very superficial. You know, if you've ever had those scratch and sniff stickers, you scratch a little bit, you can smell grape, you know, kind of that deal. That's what things were like in the beginning. But I got to tell you, since that information, or information about the color aqua in specific, started coming through on around the winter solstice, so around December 19th. And I know a lot of times there are energy downloads that happen at specific portals. You know, like 888 is a huge portal that information comes through. But the solstice is, you know, kind of another time frame to really look at the information. And it's not just on the day of the solstice. So solstice, I think, is on 21, 22. This information started happening on December 19th. And it has not let up at all. And at that time, the information was the color to really work with, the color to really be in the vibration this year is aqua. And that was information that was given to me. But then here comes this really amazing piece of information from Bitsy. And if you just permit, because I know there's a few of you on here that are not on my mailing list, so I don't want to exclude you. So I won't do this long, but, you know, the short condensed version of what she said is a lot of times we are taught to step forward. You know, if we're making a decision, set your intention and then step forward into that energy. And where the animal kingdom is really being clear about, you've already created the environment. You've already created the structure. You've already created what it is you desire. And it's not about stepping anywhere. It's about calling it in, calling it in, calling it in. And so I kept digging into that a little bit more, because that is a complete shift. You know, we say sometimes that if you're stuck, step left. You know, step out of, you know, like, let's say you're banging your head against the wall. Okay, great. You banged your head against this spot on the wall 52,000 times. Step left, have a different perspective. You may bang your head again, right? but you stepped out of where you were, and you may have to step left 10 times before you finally have that open field. Okay, that's one concept. That's not what the animals are talking about. They're talking about, instead of us feeling like we have to do, right, perform, create it, step into, that's a lot of what they're saying. That's a lot of motion. That's a lot of work. And when I went back to Bitsy, and specifically, repeatedly she said, it's about being, get that word, being right where you are, being right where you are, and calling it in. Calling it in. The other part that was really, really taken up to another level, where the focus is on the level, is the animals work with color. And I know, like, for years I've used color because it was fast. You know, there was no emotional charge on anything. People didn't have to think about it. There's a lot of times I'll ask a question, you know, what do you think about this? What do you feel about this? And people just get stuck. You know, humans get stuck. They have to analyze it because, is it right? Is it wrong? Did I say the correct thing? You know, what is that part? And the animals don't do that, right? They don't do that. So this was another type of delineation. Is that the right word? Delineation? I think so. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize. But that delineation, yeah, delineation. What they're saying is color is very fast. They can shift energy in a nanosecond on color. The other way they shift energy is on sound. And we're going to talk about a couple of those things today, because our topic today is another just blows my mind. And, you know, the short version is being aware. But there was so much information that came through with the different animals that I wanted to share today. So that part of just noticing, what are the animals saying to you? There was another thing that I'm sure we've talked about here on the Animal Channel, but I have a dog that is like keeps nudging me and says, tell them this. So, you know, a lot of people like to go out and walk their dogs. You don't typically walk your deer, right? But you walk your dog, and dog owners are different than cat owners, right? They're different than gecko owners. They're different than snake owners. So dog owners are the type of people that they get a dog because they want to go out for a walk. They want a companion while they're out walking. So many of the dogs are coming forward, which, again, ties into our topic today of being aware. And I guess we've started because we're coming in around the corner here. Dogs are saying, you're not paying attention to what I need you to hear, right? You're not getting the message that I've been trying to give you in the house or in the bedroom or in the office or whatever. So we're going to go to the dog park. We're going to go for a walk. And I'm going to choose the person that has the message for you, and how I'm going to do that is I'm going to drag you over to, quote, meet their dog. And that's what people think is happening. Oh, my dog wants to say hello to your dog. Yeah, no. I mean, that's lovely, but that's not why. The why behind all of what's going on is that part of, hey, wake up and smell the toast. There's something I need you to hear. And this person, we're going to see if this person can put it in words, in the sound tone that you'll hear, because I really need you to have this message. Okay? That's what dogs do. Cats get in your face. They just, if they really need you to listen, they are going to get in your face and get in your face and get in your face and get in your face until you're at this place of exasperation. It's like, what? What's going on? Until we go, oh, sorry, you were trying to give me a message, right? That's what those guys do. Goats are cracking me up. They're saying they're going to frolic in a way to take your awareness off of what you were stuck on, to get you to laughter, and once you're in laughter, they can deliver the message. Or another being is what this little goat, baby billy goat, saying, we're going to get you to laughter to where the other being that has the message that you'll listen to can come into your presence. Does that make sense, everyone? So, you know, different approaches, right? Horses, oh my God, horses are another, horses, all you, sometimes you have to do is look in their eyes. They are so soulful. And thank you, everybody, for this information, because when a topic is chosen, you know, I just get really quiet and go into the animal kingdom and ask who is coming forward to present the information for this next time we're together. So I'm going to just take a breath here, and I'm going to invite in this magnificent elephant. He is just majestic, and it took me a while to find a picture that sort of represented him. But if you're on, if you remember, like going to the website magnificencemind.com and looking at the classes area, and the image that was absolutely chosen for this animal channel is this amazing, amazing, amazing elephant with wildebeest, zebra, springbok all around. There's other critters in the water, but the elephant is who stepped forward. So let me just connect to him, a beautiful bull. Hello, Grand One. So I'm just going to be the voice of the information you would like to share about being aware. And so this is him now saying to you, hello, grand beings that we see that walk on two legs. We want you to know that we have messages for you. And I am a king in my own territory, and it's time for the human to be aware of what's around you, to be aware of what you own and what you do not own. So the information that we bring forth today is not everything that is presented to you is yours. Wow. Okay, there's more coming, but I just have to rest and let that set. So I'm going to repeat that. What he said was, not everything that is presented to us is ours. So I'm going to ask him for a little bit more information. What do you mean by that? So he knows the picture that I'm looking at is the morning drinking time. And his message is, again, I'm going to come back into his voice now. We come to the water as a time of sharing. And all beasts come to the water at the same time. It is a time of sharing the supply. It is a time of sharing the abundance of the water. And we have those whose job is to be the guardians and the watchers so that the young and the old can drink first, can nourish first. And then we have another group that comes through. Again, we have the guardians watching so that our mothers can come and nourish and drink. And after our young and our old and our mothers, then we allow the younger of the males to get their fill, and it comes up to the olders of the males get their fill. It's always the oldest of each species that drinks last. Because our job is to be the guardians of our kind. But I have to tell you, two-leggeds, that we do not, I as an elephant, I do not get in the noise of the lesson of the springbok. I do not get in the lesson of the beetle. I do not get in the lesson of the worm. I do not get in the lesson of the crocodile. My job is to be the guardian at the water pit. My job is to be the guardian of my clan, of my group, of my people. So our message to you is be aware of what is yours. We see the rest. We can look across the grasses and see the birds coming in, but they're on a mission. It is not our mission. We can say hello to them. We can watch what they do, but they have their own job. Just like all the little tiny beings who are on the clinging to the grasses and blowing in the winds of the grasses, they too have a mission. They too have a job. They are aware of what their purpose is in the grasses that come forth. But that's not my job. That's not the job of all the other elephants. And I look to my friend, the zebra, and the hippo, and the rhino. We each have a job. But we do not get into the noise or the business of the other. We ask you to be aware of what is yours, to learn what is yours, to be the best at what is yours, and to let others have their own task, their own awareness. Thank you for this asking. We will share more if you ask more later. That just gave me some chill bumps. I just have tears in my eyes right now because what a wonderful gift, right? What a wonderful gift from this beautiful elephant, this beautiful bull. So how does that translate, right? This being aware. You all know that I teach energy tools, and so let's just take our first defining moment. Would you take your hand? Would you reach your hand out as far as your hand will reach out in front of you? And now turn your palm to face you. And right there, you know, you're drawing your palm kind of to the left and right, you know, give or take an inch, 2 inches, right? But right there is what we will call the edge of your aura. And you can take your arm and spin completely 360 degrees around you. Call it your bubble. Call it your aura. Call it your energy field. That belongs to you. From that point to your heart, from your heart to that point behind you, from your heart to the point on the right, from the heart to the point on the left, that is your bubble. So, if you look again, I'm not sure what your availability right now is, but if you pull that picture up of that setting, the energy for us today, you will see a lot of springbok that are together. But you'll see a wildebeest, a water beast, wildebeest there, and you'll see a zebra that's to the side of the elephant. I know there were some lions. I had to cut them out. There were some females that were, you know, down on the water's edge. But can you imagine, like, all of the beings that are in the water itself that we're not even seeing, we're not aware? Or seeing all the beings that are in the mud, or all the beings that are on the grasses, right? We can't see that entire picture. But what this message is it's not mine to look at that's across the field, right? It's not, I'm not a zebra. I'm not supposed to manage the zebra's energy. I'm not supposed to manage the wildebeest's energy. I'm over here. I'm the two-legged. My job is to be aware of what's inside of my bubble, my bubble. So if everyone, again, would just be aware of your own bubble, right? Your own bubble. Being aware. So there was a conversation I was listening to the other day, and it was two younger gals. Now, you've got to understand, I'm 61. So I would say they were probably, you know, 20, 21, maybe around there, but younger, right? But the conversation, they were talking about other girls, other females, right? Sisters, if you will. But their conversation was catty. They were being vindictive. There was jealous comments. There was just vitriol, binding vitriol. So I'm over here having my own tea, my own coffee, my own space. If I truly am being aware of what's inside of my field, their conversation has absolutely nothing to do with me, right? I'm going to be aware of what's inside of my field. But if I take their conversation and pull it inside of my field, like I caught it, like a catcher's mitt, I caught whatever they were saying and I pulled it inside of my field, well, now it's mine to own because I'm the one that grabbed onto it. So a lot of times if I'm listening to this elephant, it's like, so you heard the conversation about the jealousy and the condemnation, if that's a good word, in that conversation. How much is yours to own? Is any part of that conversation something that I need to deal with? You need to deal with, right? Is it inside of our field to where we need to clean that out? Being aware. What is mine? What's not mine? What is mine? What's not mine? Right? So the animals are really clear. So I'm over here. I'm a blue jay, and there's a cat watching a squirrel. None of that's my business, right? My business is to find where did this person put the peanuts, right? I'm a blue jay. I want some peanuts. I want some safflower seeds. That's my mission. My mission is to find a really juicy worm so I can take it back to my babies. That's my mission. That's what I'm aware of. Yeah, that squirrel's doing a nice dance of, you know, taunting the cat. Not my game. I can see it. I can be aware of it, but I'm not going to make it my business. So that's another really good thing that I think animals really demonstrate. It's not my fight. It's not my topic. It's not my conversation. It's not my business. So I was having another conversation with some deer the other day because I wanted to know. There's young. Some are throwing their young right now. But where the conversation was happening was, what happens in the wild, you know, being aware, what happens in the wild when a mother has their young and a storm comes in? So let's say you're a fox and you threw 5 kit. You're a raccoon, you threw, you know, 6 cubs, you know, whatever. But you're out in the wild and here is a mother who had a young, and the young dies, but the milk has dropped. What does that mother do? How does that work in the animal kingdom? And this is one of those things that I thought was just really beautiful. The animal said, this deer said, and she says, I've watched many of my kind, which are the four-legged, is how she was looking at this. Many of my kind, we don't have boundary lines of what should and should not happen. When one of us throws a young and the young is no more, we have this supply of food, we have this supply of nourishment. If another comes along and we can provide for the well-being of that other, we will do so. That was pretty profound, right? So seeing, I did see this one actually at one of my travels, is there was a cow that was really laden down with milk, but the sow, all these piglets had been born, the sow had died, and so there's all these little piglets. But instead of going over and milking the cow, they allowed the little piglets to nurse off the cow till they were full, and then they would finish, you know, doing the milking. So that the piglets got that same teat and the pull on the teat, and the cow knew what that was, you know, know the symbiotic relationship. And yet there was still too much milk left over. So had the farmer milked the cow first, the pigs might have drank the milk, but they would not have had that same nurturing and the same, you know, bonding with another animal. So I just thought that was really cool, a different kind of awareness of how can we provide for all that are here. And I know that's a little bit of a diversion, but it comes up in that conversation of being aware, providing for all of those around. What is mine? So if we go to that part of, well, but they're not my species, so it's not my problem. You know, I lost my young, they lost their mother, it's not my problem. The animal kingdom does not do that. The animal kingdom is, I have a supply, you have a need, can we coexist? Can we coexist in that? And, you know, in that whole coming together, you would be amazed at how many different species that will help each other out. It's like when there's young involved, there's no boundary line, right? When there's young involved, it's about the nourishment, the nurturing of all. Now, if we're in breeding season, that's a whole different ball game, right? That's a whole different ball game. So let's not talk about the breeding season because now we're fighting for dominance, right? So let's take that whole topic and just move it off to the side. And looking at, again, the being aware and owning. So here in this situation, we have a mother that lost a young. We have young that lost a mother, and the symbiotic relationship of I'm going to accept the role of the nurturer to get you through your critical time of life. And many, many, many times, those, as long as they're still alive, those two species will bond with each other for the rest of their lives because that's where their nurturing came from in their early hours, early months. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So let me just kind of, there's a beetle here that's bringing to the awareness. So what the beetle is, I'm not going to join with them for their information like I did with the elephant. I'm watching what the beetle's showing me, if that makes a difference here. So watching what the beetle's showing me is being aware. We are smaller, but our job is to break things up even to a smaller level for those who are smaller than us to partake of. Okay, let me do that again. As a beetle, my job is to crunch up whatever I'm eating or whatever I'm finding. My job is to crunch it up into smaller pieces, smaller particles, so that another species that's smaller than I am can have easy access to the nutrients that are there. Being aware. And here, I maybe, you may be walking along on a hike and seeing this beetle and go, ooh, isn't that a cool beetle? Not giving a thought that that beetle has a completely amazing ecosystem they live within and what their job is. And you can be for sure that that beetle is not paying attention to the elephant or the rhino or the monkey, the baboon. It's just not, that's not part of their world, right? Unless it's a predator. If it's a predator, then they're going to, you know, hide from the predator. So being aware. So I'm going to shift this now to penguins. I got to be part of a slide presentation last night, and a friend of mine had just come back from New Zealand, and she was telling this story about these really kick-butt penguins. She got to see five or six different species of penguin, and these were gorgeous. They have these little, like mohawks, these orange mohawks, a very cool penguin. But the mom and the dad raised the young, and the baby looked like it was 2 inches smaller than the mother, right? 2 inches smaller than the mother. So a very large baby. But they were doing everything they could to protect their young. And there is another bird, and I forget the name of this other bird, but they're scavengers. And they'll just sit there and stare down the mother and father and waiting. They are waiting for the mother or father or both to barely turn their head. Barely turn their head. And in that moment that the mother, father barely moved their head, that I'm going to call predator bird reached in, grabbed that baby, and ran off with the baby. Now, you got to understand, these penguins are at least the size of a cat, right? So you got to figure they're, you know, good, you know, 13, 14 pounds, right? And here's this bird waiting for just a look to the side, look to the side. So imagine this mother and father, how many hours, and they're doing a stare down, right? How many hours that they're waiting there and just like, wow, I'm just exhausted, right? I'm so exhausted. But in that nanosecond, that bird took the young, ran off with the young so it could have its meal. So my friend Deb is telling me, she says, you know, I didn't film the rest of this, but there was an environmentalist with them, and he filmed the entire, like, drama that had unfolded. So we have the scavenger bird went for the baby penguin, stole the baby penguin, runs off, flies off with the other baby penguin, and he's sitting there eating his fill. A bigger bird came down and got that scavenger bird and its meal. So it was really interesting about, you know, the kind of the cycle of life and how you really thought, you know, you got a really good score here, but there's somebody bigger than you that's going to come and you're on the food chain for them. So a little different about being aware, but I just thought that was a kind of an interesting thing that came into my awareness within the last, you know, 24 hours. So on our call, you know, this beautiful elephant really asking us to own what is ours. So again, we've put our hand out, we've defined, here's my field, my bubble, my aura. My job is to own what's inside of that, right? To own what's inside of that. And if you want more tools about how you clear that inside, you know, reach out, let me know. I have a energy tool workshop that you can take that gives you a lot of tools, you know, that you can clean out. That's not what we're here for today. Here we're here to talk about, you know, what the animals want to say. And they're being a lot more vocal these days about our role, their role in our world, and really moving things very rapidly. And the level of their information, especially like what came through earlier with elephant, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that because I wasn't I wasn't writing anything down. I'm have to go back and listen to his message in full. But what I recall that is that own what is yours, right? So if we're looking at that bubble around us, my job as a human is to own from my heart out. And if it's on the outside of my hand, again, your edge of your bubble, I can look at what they're doing, but it's not mine to interfere with. So on the outside of the window is a squirrel playing with a cat, not mine to interfere with. I can watch and observe and get a giggle out of it, but not mine to observe. We talked a little bit at the front of the phone call about COVID, right? Everybody knows what we had to do with COVID. But one of the big things was wearing a mask. And I remember at the time of being in a store, I think it was Sprouts actually, and the astonishing awareness of wearing the mask is it really forced people to have eye contact. You couldn't see people's faces. You couldn't see their lips. You had to look in their eyes. And if you looked in their eyes, you could tell if they were smiling because there was a like a crinkle up, right? You could tell if they were worried. You could tell if they were distraught by looking in their eyes. The other really interesting part of the mask is it was a boundary line. germs, if you will, stayed on the inside of the mask. All the other toxins were on the outside of the mask. So I want you to consider the edge of your aura as a boundary line. You are responsible for what's inside the boundary line, the mask, but everything else is meant to be on the outside of the boundary line. So typically I don't do this on this call, but I'm going to. There's a couple of really cool tools. Again, these are not in the Energy Tools Workshop. These are just fun tools to share. So let's play with them. You can have your boundary line, the outside of your bubble. You can imagine mirrors on the outside of your bubble. And what the mirror does is whatever is presented to the mirror, it bounces back to, you know, whoever presented it. Right? It's a reflection. Bounce back. Bounce back. So why don't we do that? You know, you've already put your hand out in front of you. If you can, just do a twirl around. If you're sitting in a chair, twirl around, or imagine twirling around, having your hand above you, but that's your bubble. Now, you're magical, right? You're totally magical. Would you imagine the outside of that bubble being a mirror? And if you like, this would be even funnier. You know how you go into like the fun house and you have those long mirrors, or they make you wide, or they make you like cut you in half, weird mirrors. You can do that on the outside. Or hey, go pretend you want to try an outfit on and they have those really harsh lights and you're in the dressing room, those mirrors, right? Yeah, put those mirrors on the outside of your aura. So what are we doing here? We're reflecting back to anyone who's on the outside of our bubble saying, whatever the crap is you're wanting to deliver to me, I'm going to bounce it right back to you. Not mine. Right? Not mine. So in that situation where I was in Whole Foods wanting to enjoy my cup of tea and those ladies were having a conversation, by having mirrors on the outside of my aura, any sound or visual that comes up to my aura would bounce right back to them. Right? It's theirs. If they're spewing vitriol, I'm going to let them have their own lesson with that. I'm not going to take their condemnation and jealousy inside of my aura. Right? That's not my intention. So that's one way we can, you know, put a boundary there on the outside of the aura. Another way, and this is just a different option, right? A different option is to have what I call a bubble of glass. A bubble of glass. And this one I like to use sometimes if I'm at a booth for a holistic fair. Sometimes I do this with my home, but a body of glass, bubble of glass. And what do I mean by that? So you know how glass, you can have something that just goes through the glass, right? It doesn't stick. I'm looking through the glass at the pond. I'm just looking all the way through. So if you have a bubble of glass, whatever is being presented, it just passes right on through like air, right on through. Nothing gets caught. Nothing sticks right on through. So that's two wonderful little tools that you can add to your toolbox, if you will. Bubble of mirror that bounces everything off, and you can have the body of glass that it just completely goes through. So I'm going to reiterate this because this is a learning piece, is if we have a catcher's mitt and we catch something, so somebody says a cruel thing or a hurtful thing, and we catch that in our glove, in our mitt, our catcher's mitt, and we pull it inside of our aura, we just became the owner of that. It's ours now. So we then have to clear that out, right? So the better thing to do is to either let it bounce off or pass through. Bounce off or pass through. And, you know, maybe you're getting really creative for another way that you can think that we can apply to that bubble. And if you have a really awesome idea, pass it on. You know, I'll put it on the website. I'll put it in a workshop or whatever so that everybody else benefits from your cool idea. So let me just tune back into this wonderful bull elephant and see if he has any other information for us in the realm of being aware of what he asks us to come forward today. So, dear two-leggeds, the other thing I would wish to partake of you is there is a time to rest, a time to put down, and we do it at the end of our water hole, our gathering, all gather here, but after we drink our fill, after we eat our nourishment for the evening, we come back into our own kind and to those that sleep with us, but we put it down. We put it down for the sleep spell, the sleep time, and we choose how we step into the next moment of the daytime, the sun time. We encourage you to learn with us, to nourish your soul, to nourish your fill, to drink what is yours, and then to put it down, to put it down and have your rest. Thank you for allowing me to join you and to partake of our wisdom in your gathering of what you call your channel, your connection. It's been an honor to be part of your gathering. Wow, very cool. So as I mentioned, I am going to go back and listen to this again because there were some really lovely tidbits in the first part of his information to us. But how wonderful. You know, we're going to meet for the water. We're going to meet for the nourishment. We're going to meet for the storytelling, if you will, around the water hole. But then we go back to our own kind, right? We go back to our own kind, and we bed down for the night. We put it down for the rest time, the rest time. How important is that for us as well? We put it down for the rest time. And I distinctly remember him saying, and then when the sun time comes up, the time of the sun, we can pick it up again, right? But they don't always do that, right? In new moment. So wonderful things that we can learn of as the sun goes down and it's the rest time, can I put it down? Let my mind put it down. Let it go. Put it down. And then when the time of the sun comes up, I can choose to pick it up again. If it's valid, right? If it's valuable, and being aware, do I choose in this moment to pick that up, right? Does it have value for me in this moment to pick it up? Pick it up. Or can I, again, allow it to bounce off of my bubble with the mirror? Or can I allow it just to pass through? So one of the other things I'm going to put inside of your bubble is remember our grounding cord. And we've talked about grounding cord. Every animal grounds. A lot of them have grounding cords on their feet, their paws, you know, through the hooves, but always by the tail. So by our first chakra, and we have grounding cords in the palms of our hands and in the soles of our feet. But, you know, that main grounding cord of the body, so for us by the coccyx, for the animals by their tail, the sole purpose of a grounding cord is to release, to siphon off, to release what is not yours. So the thoughts, the energy, the emotions, the colors, the things that are not yours, sole purpose of the grounding cord, siphon off what's not me. So if now in my bubble, I have my bubble, my container, my energy field, my aura, whatever you want to call that name for yourself, the grounding cord is on that. So if there's something on the inside of that bubble that is not mine, that I don't want anymore, let it go down the grounding cord, right? If it didn't pass through, if it didn't bounce off, give it the command to go down your grounding cord. And we have talked about how to fill in with color. So remember at the very start of the call, the color that Kitty Bitsy was talking us, the color of the year is aqua. And it's not about stepping forward. It's about calling it in. So what if right now you have your grounding cord on, you're in your bubble, let's call in aqua. All right, how do we do that? Hello, aqua, I'm calling you in. Would you come into the top of my chakra? Would you come into my aura field? Hello, aqua, I'm calling you in. I say yes to you. Yes, aqua, come on in, aqua. How would you like? Do you want to dance around the house? Do you have an aqua song? How do you want to call aqua, teal, turquoise, right? How do you want to call that into your presence, into your body, into your being, into your aura? And remember what the grounding cord's going to do. If it can't hold the vibration of aqua, let it release. Let it go down that grounding cord, down into the center of the earth. Yes, I say hello to aqua. Yes, I say hello to teal, turquoise, however you verbalize those shades that are coming in. Yes, I say hello to being aware. Yes, I say hello to owning what is mine to own inside my bubble, inside my aura. I'm just going to let it go. All that other stuff that's not mine, I'm going to let it go. Just going to let it go. Not mine. Thank you, squirrels over there. Not mine. Thank you, beetle. Your job is to break things up so the smallers can have their porcel. Not my job. Thank you for showing that to me. Thank you for showing me, Mr. Duck, that you're out there swimming in the water. Cold. Not mine. Not what I want to do. Thank you so much. I am calling in aqua. I'm calling in that vibration, calling it in, calling it in, calling it in, and saying yes to what I'm creating. And take a breath, allowing all of that beautiful aqua just to fill every cell of your being. And give it the command to absorb, you know, absorb, integrate. Again, a lot of times people think, oh, to integrate, I have to really work hard. No, you don't. Integration, it's just going to happen. It's just going to do its deal. I do find, though, that when I'm working on something and I want to integrate, I like to get my body involved. And so for me, going for a walk out in nature, going to a gym and getting on a bike or, you know, a treadmill or elliptical or something like that, very helpful to me personally to get myself the motion of that allows the lymphatic system of the body to participate. And I just find it, I integrate quicker when the physical cells are involved. So just something I do. But would everyone, would you just really say thank you to this amazing elephant that joined us today? And to the goats, they want to say thank you. Thank you, goats. To the deer who had information about the nurturing, how they nourish and provide. And to the beetle, Mr. Beetle, thank you. And whoever else came to your awareness that had a message for you personally that you just want to acknowledge for this time together on the Animal Channel. Yeah, very cool. And so I just want to say thank you to each of you for coming today and participating. I will have the recording hopefully up by tomorrow. And if you have others who would like to participate with the Animal Channel, direct them over to magnificencemind.com, and they'll find the Animal Channel in the store because it is a subscription. You all know it's a subscription. But they'll also find the topic, whatever our next topic is going to be, in the webinars and classes, you know, kind of tab there. So not sure what our topic is going to be in the month of February because we're not in that month yet. We're not, the awareness is not there. But the moment I have the new topic, I'll have a new image and kind of words set up. But for what I said for February and March, we'll definitely be meeting the second week of the month. In April, I can already tell you we'll be on the third Saturday because it's the Easter weekend, and I will be at a fair. So until we meet again, thank you so much for joining me. Thank the animals for joining us. And namaste, everyone. Have a glorious, glorious rest of your day, and we'll talk again soon.